Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, understanding the Bible, God's magnificent manuscript, to navigate you through this life, this temporary life, this temporary training ground to see if you are fit for eternal life, and if you are fit for eternal life, to see what seat at the table you get, because there are multiple seats. There are the nosebleed section, then you got the okay section, and you're getting down into the middle class section. Then you get into the VIP stuff, and the very VIP stuff, there are a couple folks mentioned that actually get to go into the presence of God, and you'll catch that in Revelations 3 and 4, and you read about the seven churches. Those are actually seven churches at the time of the writing, and they equate to seven types of people living. So we're gonna try to get through Leviticus. It's laborious reading, but bear with us. We're gonna be on to some fantastic and very uplifting storylines here as soon as we get out of the law, which God has given, because the people came out of Egypt, and he realized they could not stick to his original covenant that he'd given Abraham, which was, you should know it by heart by now, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One is a worldly thing, and one is a spiritual thing. One covers your flesh, one covers your spirit. And it was so simple, but he sees that one minute they're following him, the next minute they're looking back at Egypt, next minute they're following him, they just cannot do it. So he says, okay, I'm going to give you something that will bind you up, something that will affect your lives daily, and you will become so bound by this law that hopefully you will want to get back to the simplicity of my love. Follow me with all your heart. You know, and that's what he did. And he's bound these people. He's binding them now in the Levitical law, giving them something that they feel they need to work for. Works will never get you to heaven. If you follow this law to its entirety, you would end up in where the folks did end up. You would end up in paradise, separated from God. The law can never get you to God. The law is a method for attempting to keep the flesh in an okay relationship with God. But when you die, the spirit man is still separated from God. Be very careful for those Christians out there that have accepted Jesus Christ's grace, because grace is sufficient. No work of the law will ever get you to heaven. Grace is the only. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me, by the grace that I give him through his acceptance of me and my sacrifice. If, the Bible says, if you follow one aspect of this law, you must follow it all. So you set Christ aside by dabbling in the law. So you must either, you must fall in. Everyone is under the law. Every single person born into this world is under the law until you accept Jesus Christ and you leave it behind. You're no longer judged by the law. You're no longer condemned by the law. You no longer die by the law. You accept Christ's salvation and Christ's grace, and the law is set aside because Christ fulfilled the law. The only man that was ever able to keep the law physically and spiritually. Chapter 17, book of Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons that still remain alive, and unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord, before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. There are laws for everything you do in everyday life in this book of Leviticus. To the end that the children of Israel might bring their sacrifices which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priests, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. The priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. They shall no more offer their sacrifice unto devils, after whom they have done a whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, whosoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers with sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever man there be in the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. Thank God, these statutes are no longer applicable to those who have grace in Jesus Christ. I remember I told a couple segments ago how we were over in the UK, and I ordered breakfast, and I had no idea what I was getting, and I got blood sausage. Good. And I took a couple bites. I even tried putting ketchup on it. Yeah. Yeah. And it just was not a pleasant thing. But I would have been guilty of eating blood, because it was made solely of hardened blood.
Right.
Very, very nasty stuff. But the British people love it. Yes. And you know what? Paul said in the New Testament, nothing is illegal at this point for the Christian. Some things are not good for the Christian, but nothing is illegal, and that includes everything that you eat. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and that have given to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And that, to me, is just a good hygienic and good physical thing not to do, because if there is a pathogen, mm-hmm, or a disease, it is in the blood of the animal. And I'm sure that's why, and God says, because the blood giveth life, so it is to be taken out, and you eat of what the life had grown. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof, and cover it with dust, for it is the life of all flesh, that the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of the flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off, and every soul that eateth that which dieth of itself, or that which was torn with beast, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening, then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. It was so easy. How many times you come home from work, you're wore out, you're dirty. I know this happens to me occasionally. You sit down in a chair for a minute, and your brain says, go take a shower.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other side of your brain says, it's a leather couch, it's okay, I'm just going to lay here and go to sleep.
Yep.
Oh, would be unclean. So we've seen how easy it, in the earlier part of Leviticus, we've seen how easy it was to sin. You can sin by accident. Mm-hmm. You can unknowingly sin. You know, the big ones are the ones that you just say, to heck with it, I know God doesn't like this, but I want to do it,
right,
you know?
Right.
And everyone does that. Don't even tell me you don't, Christian.
Yeah, and with what you just said, that could get the leather couch burnt really quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. And this book was for the purpose of proving to these people they could not be holy, that they are in a perpetual state of sinfulness, and they needed God. They needed to turn their hearts toward God, because the theme of this entire Bible is the heart. God wants the heart of mankind. The Bible says the mind is contrary to God. and the flesh. Oh, the flesh without the presence of God is an abomination. It lusts after everything that feels good. Mm-hmm. If it feels good, it tastes good, it smells good, this flesh wants it. And if the spirit man inside that resides in the heart is not in control of the mind, which is contrary to God, then the flesh becomes an uncontrollable animal. So therefore, you must point yourself toward God. The heart must follow after God in order to control the mind, which controls the flesh. Chapter 18, book of Leviticus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, ye shall do not. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye do not. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do no judgment. Ye shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. If any man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So he says, you remember all that stuff the Egyptians did? And y'all were doing it too when you're living there. You're not going to do it anymore. And all these people that live in the Pezerites and the Hittites and the Hivites, I'm going to throw them out of the land. And all that stuff that they do over there, you're not going to do that either. You're going to do just what I tell you to do. You know, you had it easy in the beginning. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. And as long as your hearts were following me, you could frolic and do whatever you wanted. And because your heart was following me, you would not want to sin against me. Mm-hmm. But now that your hearts don't follow me, I have laid down this law. There's going to be road signs all over the land of Canaan, big billboards. Do this or else. Do that or else. See the priest. Have you seen the priest today? You know you need to, right along the highway.
Uh-huh. All the realtor signs with a bloody pigeon image on it.
Absolutely. Yes. Is your house unclean? You will follow my statutes. Mm-hmm. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, there we go. We're starting to see the term, uncover the nakedness. And we visited that back in Genesis when Noah and Ham had their little issue. When Noah, he was cooped up in that ark for a year. Finally got out. First thing he done was planted a vineyard. I can't wait till the grapes are ripe.
Yeah.
Made himself some wine. Him and the wife had a good old evening. And then Ham come in and uncovered the nakedness of his father. And I know you've heard in these churches all your lives that he's seen his father naked. And he chuckled, went and told his brothers. No, I'm afraid that's not what happened. You know, boys see boys naked all the time, especially back then. They would stand up and gird themselves right there in public. You know, it wasn't a big thing, but we're going to see a few of the passages now that tell you what the father's nakedness is. And just to give you a little spoiler here, Ham defiled his mother on that night. Do you think that Noah would put such a horrible curse on Ham's son Canaan just because he's seen him naked?
Right.
No, it's not that way. Ham defiled his mother, and we'll get into that a little bit more, because the curse on the children on Canaan's bloodlines are still here today. So the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. That is exactly what the book of Genesis says, that Ham uncovered his father's nakedness. He basically defiled his father's wife. Whether it was his mother, we don't know. Right. I'm hoping it wasn't.
Right.
Maybe his mother had died and Noah had taken another wife. The Bible's not clear on that, but I'm thinking he probably wouldn't have done that to his own mother.
Right.
But
right.
to the father's
stepmom.
His stepmom, right. You know, maybe she hadn't been around but 100 years, you know. There's what it is. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. For theirs is thine own nakedness, because they are your kin. You are not to touch them in a sexual fashion. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. You will not have relation with your kinspeople. Now, this is a bit new, because up until this time, God was allowing it. Abraham's wife was his half-sister. And it goes on and on back then.
Right.
But apparently, things are different now after the flood. Things are different, and God has made some different things in the genetics. And things will not be good if you procreate with your own kin nowadays. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not, and one of the patriarchs married his aunt, do you remember? Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. And this does not, I'm reiterating, this is not just seeing them naked, okay?
Yeah.
There is a sexual connection here. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife of her sister. Okay, but he was allowing that back. Jacob, he allowed that with Jacob. Jacob took two sisters, but God is—he's taking the freedom away that they had when they followed him with all their heart and circumcised their children. You see, they were free, and nothing disturbed them, and nothing was forbidden to them, because if they followed him with all their heart, they did not want to follow after false gods. They did not want to do abominations. But now that they can't do that, they don't have the freedom that they had under his first covenant, which was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. So bondage is taking place completely throughout the society. Neither shalt thou take a wife of her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanliness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. And this thing here. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Mm-hmm. You know, that is sacrificing your children. And I tell you what. These abortions that take place in this country, the majority of them end up in the incinerator. And I guarantee you, God sees it exactly for what he wrote right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sacrifice to the God of money in this country and the God of the deep state that wishes to keep certain of the congregation of America in place. Thou shalt not lie with him with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination unto God. Okay, that is to the homosexual. Thou shalt not lie with man and woman with woman. It is an abomination. And I'll tell you what, though, you get to the end of this book, God is fed up with humanity because it has gotten to a certain point of mass abominations. He says, I will put this plague upon the world, that men will desire men and women will desire women. But there's a one word, and I keep going back in this Between the Lines episodes. You got to look at every word. He doesn't say he'll put it on everybody. It's they. I will cause them. Them. He's talking about the lost.
Yep.
I will cause them to lust, men for men and women for women. Because at this point, we're talking about at the tribute, near the end days, at that point, things are going down two different paths, and it's going just the way God said it would go. And he said, I will cause them to burn one for another, men for men and women for women. Look at the news every day, and you will see that prophecy taking place. Verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. And some of these so-called genders that they've come up with allow for that kind of thing.
Yes.
Even with inanimate objects. It is mass hysteria, and I want to say it's mental illness, but it is spiritual illness.
Oh, yes.
It is a spiritual curse put on those who have separated themselves from God. God said, I will cause them to be like this. Defile not you yourselves in any of these things, for in all the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, because they have turned their back against me. Because we've been talking about this for some time. The Canaanites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the ones that lived in the land of Canaan, he said, I had a covenant with them of some sort. They're transgressing against me, but they haven't got to the point where I'm going to cast them aside. So I'm going to put you in Egypt for 400 years, and let's see what happens over here. And when God was done with them, he brought the Hebrews out of Egypt to place them in that land. So God will work with you for a time and a time and more times, and at a certain point he will cut you off and cast you aside. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomited out her inhabitants, because they had fined. God said they have not transgressed enough, talking about the inhabitants of Canaan at the time that he put the children in Egypt, but now they have. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. And we will see that happen to the Israel, to the Hebrews also, because they get there and they soon forget about God. For whatsoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the soul that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. Understanding the hidden meanings in God's words. You got to look at every word, every sentence. You got to read passages over and over and over again. And after you've read a passage 150 times, God will give you something there that you might have not gotten every other time you went through it. Chapter 19, Book of Leviticus, here with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. And we're making this laborious reading as entertaining and as encapsulating as possible. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. And ye offer a sacrifice, a peace offering unto the Lord. Ye shall offer it at your own will. You must have a willing heart when you offer it, or it means nothing. It shall be eaten the same day you offer it, and on the morrow, and if you ought remain until the third day, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an abomination, it is abominable, it shall be not accepted. Therefore every one that eateth it shall bear his iniquity, because he hath profaned the hallowed things of the Lord. That soul shall be cut off from among his people. When ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape. This is a form of charity.
Yes, sir.
And God is spelling it out. I mean, this Levitical law covers every aspect of these people's lives. They didn't like the freedom they had under the first covenant. I can't go back to that enough. The freedom under the first covenant of follow me with all your heart. That's all God wants is your heart. He doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. Because if he has your heart, he has your mind and he has your time. God has enough money. If he has your heart, he'll supply you with money to put toward the projects that he wants you to put them toward.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.